Their eyes met across a crowded room. It was that fleeting glance on the railway station where it all began. She dropped her phone and he picked it up. And so it started. There's certainly a touch of the romantic about the book of Ruth. One of the things I like about the story that we've just read is what appears to be chance encounters. It just so happened that Ruth happened to be in the field of Boaz. Would you believe it? Just then, Boaz himself appears and meets her. Of all the barley fields in all of Bethlehem, she happened to turn up in mine. And here is truly a romantic story. It seems to me that of all the different kinds of books in the Bible, of all the different kinds of writings, it's good that we have a romantic story. And it is a romance. But of course, it's a much deeper story than that as well. It's a story of humanity and how we relate to each other. It's a story of God and how God relates to us. It's a story of kindness. This is the word that dominates through the whole of the book. It's the story of the kindness of Ruth. If you're not quite familiar with the backstory, let me give it to you. Naomi is married to Elimelech and has two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They live in Israel, but there's a famine in the land. And in order to find food and survive, they travel to Moab. And there Naomi's two sons marry Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. But tragedy strikes. Both her sons die, her husband dies, and Naomi is left utterly penniless and hopeless. She decides it's time to go back to Israel. And she says to her two daughters-in-law, "You stay here in Moab and find new husbands to marry." Orpah says yes and returns to her own home. But Ruth will not let go and says, "I will travel with you, come what may, back to Israel." And here we find them back in Israel, trying to survive. Here is Ruth taking on what is a both a vulnerable, humble, unwanted piece of work with nothing to eat, she'll go and glean in the fields, virtually begging, never quite certain what the young men who were harvesting are going to do. But notice in our story that when she encounters Boaz, Boaz has already heard her story and says, "I've heard of your kindness, the way you have been kind to Naomi, the way you have stood by her, the way you have gone with her where she has gone." Later in our story, Boaz will talk again about the deep kindness that Ruth has shown to him. It's also a story about the kindness of Boaz. Boaz takes a particular interest in Ruth. There may be many reasons for this. I'm sure if this was a film, Ruth would be young and deeply attractive. But more than that, Boaz shows a level of kindness and generosity and care. Notice all those details we heard in the story, how he instructs his own workers to make sure that Ruth both has an easier time and has an abundance of things that she gathers. Here is the kindness of Boaz. And if you read on in our story, Ruth returns to Naomi. And Naomi eats her fill for the first time, perhaps in years. And what does she say? She prays. And she thanks God for his kindness to her. Now, in our story, all the way through, God is a constant but background actor in the story. It's a story again and again of the kindness of God. So, Naomi is saying goodbye to Ruth, and Naomi prays for her that she might know God's kindness. When they arrive back in Bethlehem, Naomi, at this point, laments all that's happened, as if God had forgotten her. And just here in chapter 2, the flickers of faith begin again. Here is Naomi finding something again of the kindness of God. And this word that's used, we translate as kindness, is a very significant word. It's one of the most important words in the whole of the Old Testament to describe the nature of God. It's the word that's used again and again of God's committed, faithful, covenant love to his people. This is not a random act of generosity. This is a word that speaks of the very heart of God and God's faithful, committed care of his people. So far, so good. Ruth is kind. Boaz is kind. God shows his kindness to this family. But so far, this is still slightly soft-focused romantic. To really get to the heart of the story, to the gritty, deeper reality, we need to peel away a few more layers. Let me suggest two things about this story that we need to encounter this morning. First, we need to go back to Ruth. She is the person, par excellence, who demonstrates and shows and reveals this deep covenant kindness of God. But there's a problem. Ruth is a Moabite. And this challenges them and challenges us. We go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and it tells us, and it says to God's people, they should not marry, among other people, the Moabites. When Ezra and Nehemiah are involved in governing God's people, one of the reforms they put in place is a chance to remove those who are non-Jews from the country, especially those who have married into God's people. Yet here, in the midst of our romance, the heroine, the person who shows God's loving kindness, is just that, a Moabite, a foreigner, an immigrant. It seems to me that this part of the story is meant to be deeply challenging. Do you notice the way that you take a story, and it's written as a story, and we may recognize it in terms of some of the elements of a story, the way it presents problems and comes to a conclusion at the end. It's telling us on a story, but within the story are some very deep and difficult and challenging truths that God is telling us about. This is meant to be both a nice, good story and a deeply challenging one. Let me suggest three ways this might be deeply challenging for us. It challenges the way that we think about God. There's a tendency, and we have it, it's all the way through the Bible, to domesticate God. To domesticate means to keep within the confines of a house. Ruth is challenging our tendency to domesticate God. Let me give you another example. Think for a minute of Simon Peter and Cornelius in Acts. Here is Peter, who thinks that God belongs within the people of Israel. He has domesticated God. God is in our household. He encounters Cornelius and realizes, and to his great credit does so positively, that God is at work beyond where Peter thinks God ought to be working. His whole view of God has to become much bigger and deeper and different. This is the challenge of Ruth. God, it says, cannot be contained until their particular thought patterns, that somehow God was contained only in their people. He was a God who was much bigger. I wonder where we have domesticated God. I wonder where we have come up with a nice and an easy, and this is where God fits in. And I wonder where our view of God needs to be changed and challenged and enlarged. Part of my role at college is to oversee those who come to train, prepare for Baptist ministry. Therefore, I have lots of conversations with people, both in college, but also before they come to college, about sensing, responding to a call to God, from a call from God to ministry. I had a conversation quite recently with a young woman, inquiring about coming to college, about training for ministry, very tentative. She'd been told numerous times by numerous people, and she was still quite young, that clearly God could not be calling her, because God doesn't call people like her. She was a woman, after all. Here it seems to be with somebody living and being shaped by a story of God that it seems to me was far too domesticated. And somehow for her and for others, there needs to be a bigger understanding of God that makes us uncomfortable at times, that may deeply challenge and change us. But that's what the book of Ruth is doing. Secondly, it challenges the way that we do mission. Sometimes I think we have a bit of a skewed understanding of the way that we do mission. We ought to do mission, by the way, but I'm thinking about the way we understand it. Sometimes we think that when we go out and engage in mission, we take God with us, and therefore can offer God to people as we go. But that's not the case, because God is already there. And that's what's happening in the book of Ruth. God is deeply at work outside of God's people. And it seems to me that what Boaz is doing here is recognizing God at work already. We are not the ones to take God out to people as we go. It's not us who have God's Spirit simply, and therefore when we go, God's Spirit comes. Because God's Spirit is already at work in the world. Our calling is to partner with God in what God is doing and to find where God is working. But we might find that's in some surprising places. We may expect God to work in people like us. And we'll find that God is at work in some very different kinds of people. And we'll find that hard at times. And we'll find that challenging, and it'll make us rethink things again. One of the joys of being a trustee of the Southern Counties, there are some things that aren't joys, but one of the joys of that is I hear all sorts of things about the association life. And I hear about Eastleigh Baptist Church. And I hear about Eastleigh Baptist Church as a place that is deeply engaged in its community. And a place that people want to look to and draw from in terms of your engagement with your local community. And that's great. And it's really good to hear those kinds of stories. So let me ask you a question. When you engage with your community, when you go out there, where do you find God? And in the last, I don't know, few months, where has that surprised you? Where have you been surprised by the way that you have found God at work and needed to rethink, recalibrate, say, we need to be doing this because this is where we find God at work through his Spirit in our community. And our role is to join with that. Do we have our ears and our eyes open to hear what God and see what God is doing? And if Ruth is a guide, it will surprise us and make us think again. Thirdly, and I have to mention this, it seems to me it will change the way we think politically. How do we respond to those stories in the news of those coming in boats as refugees and asylum seekers across the English Channel? How do we respond in our hearts? What does that make us think about? How do we engage with and respond to the political debate, both in our own country and around Europe, about the place of immigration and how we treat those who come as other and different to us? If we read the book of Ruth, we cannot avoid that question, because this is the heart of the book. That God's great story, and Ruth, of course, is an ancestor of David and of Jesus. God's great story is written through here, the life of somebody who is just that person. The immigrant, the foreigner, and the asylum seeker. Yet here is the grace of God. I offer you no simple answers to the question. There are complex political issues to talk about. But the book of Ruth must make us think about it. And must make about think about what goes on in our own hearts and how we respond to these difficult political current questions. Because here is God at work. Those challenges about challenging the way we think about God, the way we think about mission, the way we think about others, particularly those who are immigrants, comes out of thinking a little bit about Ruth and who she is. Let me end with a few thoughts about thinking about Naomi. One of the great things about stories is that they draw us in. And sometimes what we do is we find ourselves identifying with somebody in the story. And there may be at times where we identify ourselves with Ruth or with Boaz in the story. I want you to try today to identify yourself with Naomi in our story. Naomi finds herself empty, unable to fix things, unable to put things right, unable to do anything even for her daughters-in-law. She stands in need and can simply have empty hands willing to receive what Ruth and Boaz will give her. This is a happy story in the end, but it takes a long time to get there. Naomi says in chapter 1, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because life is bitter for me, because God has forgotten me. Can we identify with someone in our story who can come simply with nothing but empty hands? As we read the book of Ruth, as we read any book in the Old Testament, we can't help but read it with the light of the New Testament. We can't read the book of Ruth and notice it's set in Bethlehem without thinking of the Nativity and another story that takes place in Bethlehem. And maybe another story we come to mind, something came to my mind, was a story Jesus told. The story of a different family, of somebody else who has to come simply with empty hands and a broken heart. We might find ourselves drawn into the story of the prodigal son in different ways, at different times. But there needs to be a place for all of us where we come identifying with the son who is lost and gone away. Nothing is demanded. Nothing can be expected. He comes thinking all he can be offered is work as a servant, but finds instead he is offered grace as a gift. And this too is deeply challenging. It challenges our pride. It challenges our sense of importance. It challenges our sense of being in control and sorting things out for ourselves. It speaks again of the deep loving kindness of God. But the only way to come to that deep loving kindness is on our knees with empty hands. We sung at the beginning of our service a song that talked about we welcome God. And that is true, but there is a more profound reality. And that's God welcomes us. We sang a song about believing in God, and that's true. But there's a more profound reality, which is that God who believes in us. We sang a song just now about coming back to our first love, picking up the language of the prodigal son. But even here, there is a more profound reality of a God who comes to us out on the way to find us and bring us home. And that can be hard to accept. But that's the heart of the gospel story. A story of God who, in his deep loving kindness, comes to find us and welcome us and bring us home. This is the story of Ruth. It points us to this deep loving kindness of God. Will we come again this morning for the first or the umpteenth time, recognizing that we come to God with empty hands, simply recognizing we stand in need again of God's loving kindness and grace. That whoever we are, whatever we bring in worldly terms, essentially we all come the same, with empty hands to a God of deep love and kindness. And that's ultimately where we get to with the book of Ruth. Here is God working on the margins, but working that people whose hands are empty may be full of grace. So will you come? Put what you need to put down and come to God with empty hands and receive again today his gift of love and grace. Let's pray together. Gracious God, the story of the prodigal son begins saying, I'm sorry. And we come to say sorry this morning. We come to recognize that deep down we need your love and we need your kindness and we need your grace. And we say sorry that we have not relied on that. We're sorry that we have put so much in our hands. Our hands have been full of other things, and there's been no space for your love and grace. Loving God, we thank you that you always come to find us, that you meet us out on the road and you bring us home. And we thank you again for your forgiveness, for your grace, and for your loving kindness. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.